Brother Trucker Book Club Podcast, episode 43. One thing led to another. I am Graham Bradley. It is a lovely pseudo spring day in what I assume is northern Utah. You know, that's what the map says, but the weather says that I'm in freaking Seattle again. Anyway, let's talk about some really long books that take a while to get to where they're going. Ready and. So the big obvious names in epic fantasy these days are Robert Jordan, who passed away, back in 06 or 07 maybe. And he wrote the Wheel of Time series, which I believe there are 12 or 13 books. I read the first one and decided that I didn't want to run through the gamut of another, you know, dozen, thousand pagers. But it's got a big, fantastic following. The people that are into it are really into it, and they know all the minutia of the world. They like discussing it. It works for them. The other one is obviously George R. R. Martin, who's writing A Song of Ice and Fire. The last time one of those books in that series came out, one of the main books anyway, was 2011. It's been a while since he published one of them, but the show just wrapped up. I watched maybe two episodes of the show. Same thing. It wasn't really for me. It wasn't my deal. But one of those big, huge fantasy series that's still ongoing, in fact, only 2.5 books in this series have been published. They call it a half when it's either like a prequel or an interlude, or it follows a lesser-known character, or a character that was interesting enough for the writer to pursue a story about it, but that character is not the main character in the saga. The author is Patrick Rothfuss. The series is The King Killer Chronicles, and the first book is The Name of the Wind. We've got a main character. His name is Kvothe, K-V-O-T-H-E. That is a Scrabble grab bag name if I ever heard one. But at the intro of the book, he's a tavern keeper, you know, in your familiar Dungeons & Dragons World of Warcraft tavern setting, serving stew to the locals as they come by. And there's an attack of a monster, of a fey type thing. And that gets everybody wondering what the heck's going on, and Kvothe is kind of playing coy about, you know, knowing anything about it. Well, then another traveler comes to the tavern. His name is the Chronicler, I believe. And he meets Kvothe, and he wants to write down Kvothe's life story. And this is significant because Kvothe is legendary. He's one of these guys that's done all these crazy, huge exploits. Like if you've seen Braveheart, and you hear people talking about William Wallace, like he's 14 feet tall and he shoots lightning out of his rear end. You know, that's the kind of stories that people tell about Kvothe. Like he went to X difficult place and did X difficult thing, and he ended up piling a lifetime's worth of these insane legendary exploits. And so obviously when Chronicler finds Kvothe living as a common tavern keeper, he wants to sit down with him over the course of a couple of days and write down his life story. The Name of the Wind is a really, really long book. The audiobook is like 21 hours or something. I don't know what the page count is because I listened to the audio of it. And most of it is filled up with just the first day of Kvothe telling his stories to the Chronicler. The way the series is structured is it's supposed to be three books, and each book is a day's worth of Kvothe telling his exploits to Chronicler. And explaining the real details of these stories that he's such a hero for. I'm hesitant to get into any more detail on it for my usual rule of it's a good book and you should enjoy the discovery process, but I want to tell you a couple of the things that Patrick Rothfuss did when he was building this world and telling this story. And it's where he was taking a lot of real world things and then kind of telling you the fantasy equivalent of them. Like, for example, if Hogwarts is about a magical school, a magical boarding school of witchcraft and wizardry, there's a similar, you know, academy in this one. But you also have the magical fantasy equivalent of loan sharks and student loan debt and somebody trying to work their way through college and dealing with trying to hide their poverty at the same time. You have a fantasy version of a used car dealership where they sell used horses that are kind of lemons. You have the fantasy version of well-armed drug dealers. All these things that have a real-world analog, but that are shown in a way that doesn't necessarily hang a lantern on it in the world, where it says, like, oh my goodness, these guys are drug dealers. And they have military-grade weapons. Like, it's there, and if you realize what he's writing about, it kind of makes it entertaining. Like, oh, you know, this isn't just a standard, like, Tolkien adjacent type story. It's almost like he's telling a modern world story that, you know, that we in the modern world can relate to, but it's just got a fantasy skin on it. So the first book mostly deals with Kvothe, you know, learning some magic, traveling with his family, enduring a tragedy, ending up at the academy, and then trying to pay his way through school so that he can learn magic and go on a quest to achieve a goal. Again, I don't want to spoil too much because it's worth it for you to read it and see what his goal is. If there's anything about this series, though, that frustrates me, it's the fact that it takes him so damn long to do anything that really progresses him towards his goal. If his goal is a straight road, a highway through the desert, he spends most of the book walking off the path and looking at weeds and lizard holes and saying, okay, I've got this over here that I'm dealing with and that over there that I'm dealing with. And, you know, the revenge plot is, it almost feels like it's supposed to have so much of a haste element to it. Like it's supposed to really bear on him. He's got to keep his passion dialed up to 10 to go get this revenge and go get the skills to acquire this revenge. But then the book spends so much time dealing with how he ends up acquiring the skills to go get this revenge. And this is where you wonder if you're starting to deal with something called unreliable narrator. Because as the book frequently pauses between, you know, Kvothe reliving these memories in first person and then going back to a third person narrative where Kvothe is talking to Chronicler and explaining things, you get the hint that Kvothe might be embellishing certain details of what actually happened. And then you start to wonder, it's like, well, is he just embellishing minor details, or are there entire swaths of this story that are made up as they go? So the reader's kind of being pulled along for the ride on this, and you're anxiously awaiting, you know, the conclusion to see what was real and what wasn't, and what shape it all took. And this is where we get into kind of a similar thing as George R. R. Martin, where the last book in the series came out in 2011. The same thing happened with this one, with the Kingkiller Chronicles. Like I said, he's written, you know, 2.5 stories in it. The first one is The Name of the Wind. The second one is The Wise Man's Fear. And The Wise Man's Fear is about twice as long as The Name of the Wind. And again, a lot of anecdotal stuff pops up. You know, there'll be a couple of chapters where, you know, Kvothe is dealing with you know, and again, it would be hard for me to get into detail without spoiling it. It's worth the process of discovery. But if you're there to find out what's going on with the main, you know, alleged revenge plot, you have to kind of patiently go on this walk with Kvothe through his memories. And maybe that's the whole point of the story. The third one in the series is called The Slow Regard of Silent Things. And that's about a lesser character that we meet in book one and makes an appearance again in book two. I haven't read that one yet because I kind of find myself on the faster end of reading, where I want something that's a little bit quicker pace. So maybe I'm kind of waiting for the third book to come out to get the full story that's going on here. But I still found it an interesting read. And on a final note, let me think, content warning wise, because it's been a few years since I read either of these. The first book, you'll get into some language and some implications of sensuality. And in the second one, Kvothe kind of, I guess, like goes through puberty and discovers that, hey, women are out there in the world, and you can probably get them to engage in certain activities with you if you're persuasive enough. And so he does regularly. So that comes into play. And like I said, I haven't read the third one. I don't know what's going on with that one. But The Name of the Wind is an interesting new take on the big, large deforestation epic fantasy genre. And I would at least recommend checking that one out and seeing what you think of it, and whether you want to keep going now, or if you want to keep going once Patrick Rothfuss finishes the third book. So check that one out. All right, for this next book, the reason I chose to pair these two episodes together is, as I was reading this book that I'm about to introduce to you, I kept thinking of Patrick Rothfuss and The Name of the Wind, because they have some similarities. It starts out, I don't know if you would call it a prologue, but basically an announcement from the main character, you know, basically declaring that he's recounting the tales of his life, because you're given to understand that he's some huge, massive, galaxy-spanning, legendary figure. Histories have been written about him. Planets have risen and fallen by his hand. And here's the real story about who he is. So knowing that going into it, that you're basically reading about like this Roman space Darth Vader, it's like, okay, cool. I want to know you know, how did this unstoppable warlord force who calls himself the Sun Eater, and you're given to understand that this dude like deliberately killed a star and wiped out an entire system. And this is all, you know, first page stuff. You want to know how he got to be so big and awesome and what his upbringing is. And then you're going to spend the next 600 pages going through the introduction to his life. If this is a if you're a reader that likes haste, this isn't a book that will satisfy that itch, but I still think that you should read it because of the experience that I had with it. Maybe I should back up a little bit. So the author's name is Christopher Rocchio. If you were to look at how it's spelled and you speak any degree of Italian, you might think that it was pronounced Ruocchio, but you know how it is in America, how we change the pronunciations of things. I don't know his family history or why it changed that, but basically think like Rocky Balboa, Rocchio. He is acquainted with a couple of authors that I am acquainted with. I don't know this gentleman personally, but Larry Correa did a book bomb for this book. Dave Butler recommended it, and I said, okay, I'm going to check it out. So I got the audiobook last summer when I was hauling dirt boxes of contaminated soil across the Utah desert. And I found out that I had trouble kind of getting into the audio. I want to say that it was 16, 17 hours long, something like that. It's not hard for me to burn through a long audiobook, but I just found that I had trouble getting into it, despite the fact that I really wanted to. Maybe that's because of who recommended it and so on and so forth, but for some reason it wasn't clicking for me. Maybe it wasn't moving quick enough for my likings or according to my anticipation. So I decided to set the book aside and just not worry about it, but for months it still bugged me that I hadn't finished this book, and it's called Empire of Silence. And I found that I couldn't put it out of my mind, so I decided instead to go check out the hardcover from the library and read it that way. And for some reason, that made all the difference, which is surprising to me because if I read 100 books in a year, 60% of them will be on audio, and it's kind of my preferred method for larger books, but this one lent itself better to being read in print. You're going to be hit with a lot of new pronouns in this one, excuse me, proper nouns. Cielsin, the name of an alien race. Merikanii, the group of what's sticking in my head is like a merchant class or a certain race of people. Things like that hit my eyes differently than they hit my ears, and it made it easier to read in print than it did on audio. Not through, you know, a fault of a narrator or anything. But I'm glad that I finally went back to it and picked it up and read through it, because even though it's not a hasty book, it's a very substantial one, and I found myself relating to certain experiences that the main character had. So his name is Hadrian Marlowe. He's the son of a higher class house in this galaxy-spanning empire. They know that they originated on Earth, but Earth is somewhere out in the galaxy. This is many, 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 many generations in the future. He was raised on a different planet. He's got family that he kind of quarrels with. He wants to make his own way. There are definitely obstacles to that. And if I'm going to spoil anything about this, let me just say that he sneaks his way out of the family, goes onto a ship in cryo sleep, and then when he wakes up, things are not what he anticipated. Those are some of the big events in what I would say is like maybe the first quarter of the book. Beyond that, what he wakes up to and what he does with his life after that is pretty fascinating to read. And there are even a few years of his life there that kind of made me think of my own knock-around years in my mid-20s when I moved from Henderson to Provo and was just trying to figure out what the heck I was going to do with myself. And I found I related to it on that level. And then seeing where he went with his life after that was just fascinating. And I find myself really interested to read the sequel when it comes out in about 2 months. I held off on reviewing this book on the podcast until just about now because the paperback version of Empire of Silence will come out on June 6th. Check it out. It's got a really cool cover on it. It looks like this guy wearing a conquistador helmet and a ornate breastplate and then, you know, holding a sword that kind of looks like a big wide-bladed lightsaber. That is our boy Hadrian. And then the sequel is called Howling Dark. Take a look at the cover of that. It looks even more awesome. These are superbly done covers. Christopher Rocchio is very fortunate to have the cover artist that he did that can put artwork on the face of this book that really captures the magnificence of the world that he's created inside this story. So, much like Name of the Wind, don't jump into this if you're expecting it to move at the harrowing pace of a thriller that gives you a beginning and a middle and an end, because this is very much the opening to a long and sweeping epic that gives you the details of Hadrian Marlowe's life. If I understand correctly, this is the first of a 5-book series, and Rocchio is currently working on the third one, and he's got the next two after that planned out. But the second one comes out in July, and I, for one, am really excited to read it. Content warning on this one. Implications of sensuality and stuff. Language gets you up to the F-dash-dash-dash word. And then there's a segment of Hadrian's life on a planet where he makes his way in the world as a swordsman. And I won't say anything beyond that, because the method of it is pretty interesting. So you get some violence, things of that nature. So just be aware of that. I always like to give my readers that good old content warning. So those are your big, beefy deforestation books of this episode. Name of the Wind and Empire of Silence. And you can get that Empire of Silence in paperback for about $8. In just a couple of days here. And that is it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. It ran a little bit longer than usual. That's okay. So did these books. In the meantime, drive safe. I'll see you out there.